Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. This is Mike. Doug's just walking in the door right now. I'm getting him... I decided that I didn't want to prepare at all this week. I just decided that I would wait until you knocked on the door and then I would start the recording and then you just walk in.
Wow. Yeah. I feel kind of like I'm on candid camera.
Yeah, it's like a reality show. This is like reality podcasting now.
Can you hear the sounds of a fat guy walking up the stairs?
I think we heard that in the first couple seconds. Yeah.
It's still happening. Well, dude, good to see you.
Good to see you too, dude. It's late at night. It's Tuesday. There's some Sharks news. We're doing a season preview. I've totally prepared myself, and you haven't.
I have.
Oh, damn it. Just this one time, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the one that like writes stuff out and, you know, thinks about things beforehand. I'm making air quotes. Thinks about things, you know. That kind of stuff.
I just want to say that I have my notes on my computer and yours are on some sort of weird fifth grade graph paper.
I love graph paper. I'm an engineer, damn it. Engineers love graph paper. It's
like
a rule.
Do you draw like little like pictures of math equations? And
I do.
Do you have things pinned up in your cube, like different equations? Dude, did you see The Social Network this weekend?
No, I missed it. Was it good?
It's a good movie.
Is it good?
Yeah.
My wife saw it. She said I'd like it.
Yeah, I think you definitely would like it. Dude, it's all about, talk about the, I mean, I don't know what side of the argument you want to take, but I mean, geez, I mean, it sure seems like he hosed those guys.
Well, I think he hosed more than those guys, to be honest with you, but, you know, who am I to dispute? I would trample on my mother to get one more listener for my podcast. Speaking of which, oh, we're finally at 300, dude. I was checking Facebook, since we're talking about the Facebook movie. We have finally hit the 300 barrier of people that like us.
Yeah.
So, heh, we made it.
After
2.5 years.
1 million users, we have 300.
We have 300 in your face, Facebook.
Well, thank you very much to all the listeners. Dude, let's get down to it.
Yeah. Where are we going? What are you doing?
Where are we going? Let's do some Sharks news.
Sharks news. I have plenty of stuff. First and most shocking is Andreas Lilja not being on the team, not getting a contract. Doug looking for a power plug. I will continue. I don't know what he's doing.
Okay. Now, you know what? Screw it. If my computer goes out, I've got it all in my brain. I don't need my computer. I don't need your graph paper. I just need me.
It's like gorilla.
I'm like
podcasting.
A supercomputer.
Wow. This is like you're like a special forces.
I'm like an early giant Mac that was shaped like a microwave.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was cool.
Andreas Lilja.
Yeah, Andreas Lilja. How shocked are you on a scale from 1 to 10?
Well, 6.
Really? That's it? Mildly shocked?
Well, I mean, because he's a tryout, you know? I mean, so I
guess...
But
he was on the trip.
I know. Okay, 6.2.
I'm going 8 at least.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he played well. Everybody liked him. They were getting rid of guys. They got rid of Leach. To me, Leach going down meant Lilja was in.
You thought so, but it looks like it's Mike Moore showtime.
Mike Moore showtime. So, yeah, Lilja's out. Who's in? I know there's some people speculating on the blog that maybe Doug Wilson offered Lilja or wasn't going to offer him a large contract, and that's why Lilja
was
released.
Well, what did he think was going to happen?
I know. I just, you know, I'm obviously not privy to any of this crap, but, you know, just purely speculation. That seems funny to me.
Well, I think about 600,000 to 700,000 would be like the max.
I mean, Detroit offered him $1 million and he walked away. Did he really honestly think he was going to get more than that?
Sharks don't have that kind of cash.
That's right. So, I mean, I don't think this is some sort of like contract terms dispute. I think it's basically just at face value what we read on Pollock today, which is that Sharks decided, you know, Doug Wilson had a bit of a quote, okay, well, we have guys in the system and we sort of owe it to them to give them a shot. What do you think about that philosophy in general? Because that struck me a little weird. It's like, okay, so I guess maybe I'm just parsing it funny, but what I took that to mean is, okay, well, we might actually have a better player right now in Andreas Lilja, but we're not going to put him on the team in favor of a guy who's quote-unquote paid his dues. That's not exactly what he said, but that seemed like that's what he meant.
Yeah, I think, and this kind of goes into where the Sharks roster is right now because it's a little bit of a mess. When you look at the fact that they're carrying three goalies, you know, that's, what other NHL team is doing that? Can you think of any?
No.
I can't think of any either. I mean, we could take a look. There might be one other team that's doing it, but I don't mind that if they're going to keep Mike Moore mm-hmm. on the roster and they're going to play him. All right?
Right.
If you're going to keep Mike Moore, I want to see him play. I want to see him play half of the first quarter games. Right. He should be out there. Because what's the point of having that guy just sitting around, you know, getting deli sandwiches for Kent Huskins?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Vallin is not healthy, Moore and Vallin should be rotating. They should have a little three-man rotation between those guys. And then the two that play the best after the first quarter of the season, then you get to stick. You know, mm-hmm. and if you don't, then someone gets waived or someone gets sent down. This is my theory, dude. I think that they tried to keep Lilja. They tried to make a trade. There was no bites. The market is dead.
Trade who?
Well, I think they're trying to move Greiss.
Okay.
I think they might have tried to trade Huskins. You know what I mean? They might have tried to trade Moore, mm-hmm. for all we know. I mean, I think I read that Moore, if you're going to send him down, he's got to go through waivers. You're going to lose him.
Mm, yeah, it's true. So I didn't know that.
I thought I read that.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I can't remember.
Since you caught me completely
nice
off guard,
yeah,
I didn't have time to do my proper Mike Moore waiver research. So,
well, we hit my first 2 points, which is, first one says Lilja out, who's in? I think we answered that. The second is Greiss WTF, I have written here. So, three goalies, are they going to trade him? I mean, in other news, I read on Sharks page today that Tyson Sexsmith was moved to the ECHL.
Stockton Thunder?
I think so. Hey. And so that means it's Stalock and Carter Hutton in Worcester, which means where's Greiss going to go?
Well,
I mean, Sharks page said either the AHL or the NHL will probably have two goalies, but that seems funny to me. I mean, I guess they could theoretically lend him out to a European team. It's possible.
I guess. I mean,
he just seems like the odd man out. You know, it's like musical chairs and the music stopped and he doesn't have a chair.
Well, I told you this over the weekend that, you know, ESPN Rumors, which is, you know, probably several cuts above Hockey Buzz,
mm-hmm.
has written a few articles, which they get from different beat writers around the league, because that's kind of how they put together their rumors.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the articles have mentioned that maybe it's not Greiss who's on the block. It might be Nidamaki that they're trying to shop or will shop throughout the beginning of the season. And, you know, maybe someone goes down, mm-hmm. team loses a goalie. They might want to turn to Nidamaki, especially since, you know, the free agent goalie market now with Teodor gone to Minnesota, something happens to one of the goalies. You know, the Sharks might be in a situation where they could make a deal. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to ask for much in return.
I think they
probably would just want to move the contract. I don't know, dude. I mean, this really, more than ever, the Sharks roster is not ready right now to contend for a Stanley Cup. And, mm-hmm. and you know, Doug Wilson has the philosophy of, you know, the team's not done until the trade deadline. Well, this team is, you know, has a lot of question marks in mm-hmm. terms of what's going on.
Well, dude, we have an email from John, who is, of course, the owner, proprietor of Sharks Page, and he's a little glass half full here. He says, one question I have for the show, could the defense perform better than expectations to start the season? Douglas Murray will have a second year with Boyle. After experience with Ehrhoff, Murray-Ehrhoff grew into the one of the most improved defensive pairings a couple years ago, something I wrote on the blog, and that was repeated word for word by Greg Rivet. Demers will have 82 games to learn the defensive zone subtleties he struggled with. Vlasic needs to take a larger leadership role. And the bottom pairing could be this competition, like you just mentioned. So I guess, I don't know. I mean, we've been running down the defense here the last few weeks. Obviously, we think that the Sharks need another piece. But is it possible that the Sharks could actually outperform what most people think is you know, the glaring weakness of this team?
Well, they've got a pretty good easy start to the season in terms right. of your first four games. You've got three teams that are not playoff teams. You've
right.
got Columbus, Atlanta, Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So if they struggle
mm-hmm.
and give up a lot of goals early, as we've seen them do in a few of the preseason games, then I think we should be really concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think that the player that it's going to come down to Vlasic and Murray. Can they step up and really be legitimate top four guys?
See, I think it's I'm close to that. I think it's going to be Vlasic and Demers. I think we sort of, I think Murray is more or less a known quantity. He's the rock. You know, Boyle's going to run up and down the ice and make breaks, and Murray's hopefully going to, you know, regulate.
Right.
On the other side, the question is, can Vlasic take his game to the next level? You know, he had 35 points, you know, a couple seasons ago. Can he get to 35 or 40 points while still being very defensively sound against the best the other team has to offer? And can Demers actually flourish into a legitimate power play defenseman without being a gigantic liability at the other end of the ice? I mean, those are the two big questions for me defense-wise. If Vlasic can step up his game and Demers can continue to improve, you know, I'm still going to advocate looking for another defenseman, let's be honest, but I'm not going to be as worried as I am right now.
Sure. Do you think Douglas Murray has the potential to become a, okay, well, let me phrase this differently. Where would you rank Murray and Komisarek?
That's tough. You know, I don't see enough of Komisarek. You know, I could speculate. Actually, I'm great at that.
Speculate away, dude.
I'll speculate that that Mike Komisarek is a better skater than Douglas Murray. Douglas Murray is a better hitter than Mike Komisarek. I think Komisarek is probably more of a guy that anchors his defensive pairing, whereas Boyle is clearly the guy that stands out. So right now, I think Komisarek is probably a little bit better than Murray.
Do you think Murray has the potential to be as good as Robin Regier?
See, that's, no, I don't think that's the case.
So is Murray miscast as Dan Boyle's defensive partner?
No, not necessarily. It really sort of depends on who you want on the other side of Boyle.
Right.
I mean, do you want another fast, nimble guy? Not necessarily.
I think if we're looking at the other two teams in the Western Conference that have known top defensive pairings like Rafalski-Lidstrom or Seabrook.
But didn't they split those up? Didn't they split them quite a bit?
I don't know. You know, I'm not sure.
I thought they split those
guys. I thought that those guys were playing together and that Stewart and Cronwall were playing together.
Yeah,
but
I think you're right.
I don't know. I want to see Douglas Murray really take a step forward in terms of being responsible, being in better position. You know, we know his physical presence, but can he really be a better shutdown D-man when Dan Boyle's out there taking a little bit of more gambles? And, you know, and Vlasic's the one. I mean, Vlasic's the key. I mean, can Vlasic really be a force on the blue line? I don't know. Who would you like to see Vlasic turn into this year in a perfect world?
I mean, the defensive defenseman that is, in my mind, the one that always compare against is Scott Hannon. I want to see him, Scott Hannon, with some of that physicality that Scott Hannon had, plus offensive upside, because we've seen that offensive upside. I want to see Scott Hannon, you know, plus.
A better Scott Hannon.
A better Scott Hannon. That's what I want out of Vlasic.
Okay.
Because right now, he's sort of Scott Hannon.
Kind of. Well, yeah. If he can fill the shoes of the Scott Hannon that played for the Sharks, that was a very good, one of the top defensive defensemen in the league.
Right.
If he can play that role, and Murray can take a step forward, and Demers can be less of a liability,
right,
then, you know, then we might be in good shape. But that's a lot of ifs.
That's a lot of ifs. I was just going to say that.
That's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, should we get to the season preview?
Yeah. Now, should we start in the East and save the West for last?
Yeah, we'll save the West for last.
All right, dude.
Are we just doing rankings? Or what are we doing here?
Well, let's go division by division.
Yeah.
Okay. Which one you want to start with?
Let's do Atlantic first.
Okay.
A.
That's the best one.
A for Atlantic.
All right. You want to go first or you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
All right, dude. I want to
see if you pulled anything out.
I think the Pittsburgh Penguins are the best team in the Atlantic, but I don't think it's a runaway. That's the best division again. You know, when I was looking at it, you got three really good teams, two elite teams in my mind who have real good chance to win the Stanley Cup. But adding Martin and Mahalik to already an extremely deep blue line, it just makes them so dangerous.
Yeah, they I think I put them about even with Washington, maybe ahead of Washington as the best team in the East. Yeah. So I have to put them first, and you have Devils second, or?
I have the Flyers second.
You have the Flyers second.
I think the Flyers, they caught lightning in a bottle last year, and their defense is even better. And, you know, why couldn't Boucher and Leighton do it again? You know, they were just good enough to get them to the Stanley Cup. And I think, you know, they're known quantities in terms of who they are. They don't play outside their limitations. And the blue line is so good. I mean, the top six blue line, that's the best in the NHL. Mm-hmm. The Flyers are running out. They're running out Mazaros. They're running out Sean O'Donnell. They're running out Tiemannin, Pronger, Carl.
And Coburn.
And Coburn. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
That's nuts.
I mean, that is ridiculous. They're,
actually,
they're...
I got another team that has a pretty damn awesome top six that you might be surprised at in a minute here.
Okay.
But I actually have the Devils second because Brodeur is a stalwart. I think that clearly they made the calculation, is Kovalchuk worth the bajillions of dollars? Is he really going to be the offensive force? I don't know if we necessarily saw that so much last year. I think we could see some really exciting offense out of New Jersey this year. So I put New Jersey second just because they've been there. And, you know, can the Flyers do it again with Michael Leighton and Brian Boucher? Ray Emery's not even on the team. So with those two guys, I see that as a bigger risk. Therefore, I put New Jersey second.
Yeah. Can't really argue with that other than to say you're wrong.
Right.
But
it's a good argument.
You know, adding Jason Arnott helps. They have some salary cap problems, mm-hmm. so that have not been addressed yet.
Well, they're probably trying to get rid of Ralston, right?
Well, you know, they have until tomorrow afternoon to get $3.4 million under the cap. So they're going to have to either bury or give away somebody. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in that regard. So we've got the top three teams, I think, in line here.
Does anybody care what the fourth and
no,
fifth teams
I
are?
No, I mean, the Rangers, again,
Rangers are bad,
got
probably.
The Sather pushing all the wrong buttons.
Again.
Having to bury Wade Redden. You know, now they're, you know, hanging on to such fantastic players like Ruslan Fedotenko to revive their offense, giving out ridiculous contracts to Derek Bugard. I like some of their young players on defense.
Yeah.
I like Gilroy. I like Delzato. I like Girardi. I like Staal. They have a great goalie. Their offense sucks.
Right.
And now you've got Frolov, who's like a ghost sometimes.
Right.
Will he get to 70 points? He might, just because he plays with Gavrik, but there'll be games where he completely disappears. I think the Rangers are in this division. I mean, dude,
I don't think they're going to be playing for a playoff spot in the last game of the season. Let's put it that way.
I think they're going to flounder. They're going to make a really bad desperation trade involving one of their young assets, and Sather will not get fired again. Rinse and repeat. Dude.
Right,
it
happens.
Same old formula. I feel bad for the Islanders because I think this could have been a year where they might have been able to take a step forward,
and
now they're already out
not.
Strite and Okposo. So. Islanders will be making a run at the lottery, dude.
Yeah, they will. They will. Okay, dude. Let's do a Northeast.
Okay.
Okay. Who do you got number one?
I hate this division, actually.
Yeah.
I took the Montreal Canadiens as number one.
What?
I did.
Wow.
I think
we're like opposite.
I think they've got the most talent. I love PJ Subban. I think if Markov can stay healthy, them together with Hamrelik and Josh Georges actually has developed into a really good NHL defenseman. They've got some dynamic scoring. It's all on the shoulders of Carey Price, but out of this division, I don't really like any of these teams that much, but we saw Montreal last year. I mean, they've got some fight in them.
Yeah, yeah. You know who I got number one, dude, and who has a pretty damn good top six defensive core?
The Ottawa Senators.
The Ottawa Senators, dude.
I have them number two.
I have them number one. Ottawa Senators, that's Gonchar, Kuba, Chris Phillips, Chris Campoli, and Erik Karlsson is their top five. Probably Brian Lee is their number six.
That's not bad.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I would trade that straight up with what the Sharks have right now. I mean, as much as I'd hate to get rid of Boyle. But yeah, I mean, you look at these guys, you got Kovalev in a contract year. Hello. Right? We're probably going to see a little extra production out of Alexei Kovalev this year because he's in a contract year. So, you know, I mean, I don't think that anybody's expecting Ottawa to blow the doors off. They're playing with house money, and I could see them. They were pretty surprising last year to finish second in that division. I think they could surprise everyone again this year and step it up.
Would not be shocking. I have Ottawa as a playoff team. I think that they're good enough to make the playoffs this year and lose in the first round.
So that means you have Buffalo third?
I have Boston third.
You have Boston third.
I'm just down on Buffalo, dude, and I'm down on Buffalo every year.
Every year I'm down on Buffalo, and I'm wrong every year. So this year I'm flip-flopping, okay, and I'm going Buffalo number two.
I mean, Buffalo, yawn. Please,
I know, but
geez.
You look at their team, it's not bad.
It's
not
good.
But it's not bad.
Okay, so they get rid of Lidman and Talander, and they replace him with Montador and Leopold. That's a step back.
Yeah,
dude.
But they still got Tyler Myers is going to be good.
Okay, and Craig Revay is going to have shoulder surgery again in about 3 weeks. I mean, that guy's falling apart. And we've seen what their forwards have, which is in the clutch, nothing. I mean,
I think Tyler Ennis can make a big step forward this year. And with Vonick and Pominville and Connolly and Roy, that's not bad at all.
It sounds good. It rarely is.
Well, they won the division last year.
Okay, dude.
Okay.
How'd they do in the playoffs?
Not good, but I'm just talking about regular season finish here.
Okay.
I'm not talking about who's going to win the
West.
I'm
not budging. I'm going to go with Boston. Okay. I think that Boston, their blue line is not good, but I think that they have good enough goaltending. They play a pretty tight system, and I believe in their forward core more than I believe in Buffalo's, and I think that that will be a close race between the two and a pretty large gap between them and Toronto, which I have as fifth.
See, I have Montreal fourth because I just don't see... Yeah, you're right about their D to a certain extent, but look at their offense. I mean, Plekanec, yeah, Jonty, okay. But then once you get past those top four, you get into guys that's like, what?
Yeah, but these guys are playing... They're playing roles. You know, I felt like they had like a pretty defined sense of who their roles were. These are guys that were on the team last year when they had success. So I feel like the Canadians know their place. They know what they're doing. I was real down on them last year. I thought they were going to be one of the giant gaping buttholes of the league.
Yeah.
And boy, did they surprise the world by taking a run.
I'm going the gaping butthole route this year for them.
All right.
And I'm going to go on a little digression here. We did three fantasy drafts in one day on Sunday. And somebody drafted Scott Gomez in the second round in like one as like their, I think it was their auto pick.
Ouch.
I don't know who that was. If it was you, send us an email so we can ridicule you properly. But I think it was an auto pick. Somebody like set their roster ahead of time, but it was like, you know, it's like a Joe Thornton and then like Pavel Datsyuk and there's like Scott Gomez. And I'm like, what?
Whoa.
I'm like, what just happened?
Maybe they were like on auto pick from 2006.
You don't get drafted just based on salary.
Oh,
so anyway,
good.
Sorry about that. Okay, and then obviously Toronto's fifth.
Yeah. Their forward line is a joke. They have to make some trades on the blue line. They're a mess.
All right.
Mess.
All right. So southwest, are we going to be in lockstep here? That's the question.
Okay. Well, let's see. Washington. Let's play a little game. Hold on. Wait. Okay. Let's say the first place team together at the same time. 1, 2, 3.
Washington.
Yeah. All right. Number two team. Tampa Bay. All right. Okay, ooh, it's going to get tricky.
Yeah.
I might have a curveball here for you.
Ooh, you sure? Okay.
All right.
Number three.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Okay, number three.
Atlanta.
Columbus.
What? This is Southeastern.
I know. I'm just... I said Atlanta. Atlanta's number three for me, too.
I have Atlanta.
All right, number four.
They're improved.
Okay, number four. Carolina. Oh, dude, yeah. Nice. That was extremely odd moment that we had here on the podcast, but we are in lockstep.
Yeah.
I think Tampa Bay could be a real surprise team.
Absolutely.
They've got the cap room to make some big moves down the stretch. We should not underestimate Steve Yzerman. Some pretty shrewd moves in the offseason. I like Tampa Bay to definitely be a playoff team this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Lecavalier, Gagne, Saint-Louis, Stamkos, Ryan Malone, Steve Downey. I'm not going to forget about Teddy Purcell. He's a guy that we've seen several times. He used to play for the LA Kings. I'm not sure, you know, the Kings got rid of him. I'm not exactly sure, you know, I'm not a LA Kings guy that watches every game, but Teddy Purcell at one point was pretty touted as a prospect. I wouldn't give up on this kid yet. So Teddy Purcell could be one of those guys that could really sort of blossom here. And they have some injuries on D. Is Olin out? Olin's out, right?
If he is, I don't think it's major.
Okay.
But even so, I mean, they've got some serviceable guys.
Cabina, Olin, Hedman, Brett Clark, Randy Jones, who I liked when he was on Philly.
Yeah, not
Mike
bad.
Lundin is a guy that most people don't know about, but is not bad.
Yeah, not bad. And in goal, you know, kind of an underrated guy in Dan Ellis, who's got a shot here to take a starring role on a playoff team.
Right.
So Tampa Bay is a team to watch, and the most important thing about Tampa Bay is to see how is Steve Yzerman going to use the $10 million in cap room that he has. And because they've been so bad, they've got some prospects kind of lingering in their system. Ty Wishart.
We
speak your name. Ty Wishart. Guys who they might be able to peddle off and take on a salary player who's going to be available later in the year. Tampa Bay, all eyes on Tampa Bay. And I'll tell you what.
A reuniting of Brad Richards in Tampa Bay. I mean, Dallas may be interested in dealing him in that gigantic contract.
Maybe. I don't know if they need another center.
Yeah.
You know, but I would be looking for them to add another defenseman. You know, if Boston craps out, you know, maybe that's a place that Zdeno Chara could end up.
Yeah.
You know?
Does he have no movement, though?
He might move it to go there.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
They're going places.
You never know. I like the Atlanta Thrashers in sort of that Jacques Lemaire type of mode. I think John... Wait, who's the coach there now? It's not John Anderson. He got canned. Who is it?
Let me look. I name's on the tip of my tongue.
Guy Boucher is in Tampa.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Rick Dudley.
No, that's...
GM? No,
Rick
wait.
Dudley's the GM.
Who's the...
John Torchetti. John Torchetti?
Oh, yeah.
John Torchetti. All right. Okay, we got it.
Okay.
I think they're going to play a hard-nosed type of hockey. They don't have a lot of stars there, but they've sort of become, you know, Chicago Blackhawks South by bringing in Bufflin, by bringing in Eager, by bringing in...
No, Craig Ramsey's the coach.
Ladd.
Craig Ramsey? Yeah.
Oh. Retread.
Ruh-roh. Greg Ramsey. But you look at their guys.
Still,
I mean,
yeah, not bad.
You can see Evander Kane take a big step up. You can see some of these guys do pretty well. So,
and they do not have a bad blue line.
They have a good blue line.
You know, you've got Hainsey, you got Enstrom, you got Oduya, you got Bogosian, you got Bufflin, you got Sopel, Valabek. That's not bad. So,
they've got
solid goalie in Chris Mason.
They can always move Bufflin up to offense.
Yeah, I wouldn't count them out for a playoff spot, which seems really strange to say that.
Right.
But
I'm sure they'll find a way to blow it.
Atlanta's going to be competitive, too.
They can find a way to blow it like they always do.
Who are your 8 playoff teams from the East?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I went this far. But, okay, so Pittsburgh, Ottawa, and Washington.
Okay, so who's number one?
Pittsburgh.
I'm going Washington.
Actually, you're right, because they're probably in a worse division. So then we'll do Ottawa as the number 3. The number 4 will probably be New Jersey. I'll go number 5, Buffalo. Number 6, Philadelphia. Number 7, where's Tampa Bay fit in all this? This is getting tricky. See, you put me on the spot, dude.
Dude,
you turned
who's
the tables.
Prepared now?
Well, I didn't think we were talking about this, dude.
Let me give you mine and see what you think. I've got the Caps number 1. We didn't talk about the Caps.
Well,
haven't changed much.
Yeah,
they're rolling out the same business that's been successful for them. Caps number 1, Pittsburgh number 2. I've got Montreal number 3. You know, I know you don't agree with that. I've got Tampa Bay number 4. I think that they're in a questionable division, and I think they're going to be able to rack up some wins that some of the Atlantic teams aren't going to be able to. Got Philly 5. That would be an epic first round matchup between Tampa Bay and Philly. I think that'd be a lot of fun. New Jersey, number 6. Ottawa, number 7, losing in 4 games to Pittsburgh. And Boston should not even bother traveling to Washington because they will lose. So those are my 8 Eastern playoff
I think
teams.
That's going to be pretty close to me, except I have Buffalo instead of Montreal in the mix. So I think that's pretty close. I don't think Rangers have a shot. I don't think Montreal is going to be in this year. I don't think Atlanta's going to quite make it. So, yeah, pretty close, dude.
All right, let's get down to what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
This is the Western Conference preview, dude. Do we have any music?
No, dude.
Do we have any sound effects?
Of course we have sound effects, dude.
Well, how about like a sound effect?
Hamburgers.
Okay, good. Now we got a sound effect to get us into the Western Conference preview, dude. Oh, here we go. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, I like this music.
Okay, good.
Okay, dude. Let's start with the division that we hate the most, the Central.
Yep.
We hate the Central.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Okay, this is tricky. Who's your top team in the Central?
I see. I don't think there's a question. It's Detroit.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
One last hurrah with Lidstrom, right? I mean, they're kind of going to go to the mat. They're going to be poised for a big season if they're healthy.
Jimmy Howard is going to be a little bit better, and they stay healthy. I think, you know, they can't have as many, you know, huge injuries as they did last year. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, so, injuries were the reason why the Red Wings were so low.
That's right.
All right, number two.
Chicago. They still got their core, so it's going to be Chicago. They lost like 8 or 9 starters in their Stanley Cup team. That's why they're going to take a drop, and Detroit is going to be healthy. So I don't think there's much of a chance there either.
I'm going to shock the world.
You're going... I know where you're going with this.
You know I like this team.
I know
I'm going
do.
St. Louis Blues. I know you are. I think this is the year that the St. Louis Blues are going to be the Phoenix Coyotes of the Western Conference this year.
Okay.
I think they... it's time for them. They have basically the same good young team, young core, minus some veterans that made that playoff run 2 years ago. I think they're better. I think Backes is better. I think Oshie's better. Petrangelo's ready to step up. I like this Ian Cole guy who's now going to start in the AHL. And they've got a goalie that proved to be a star last year in the playoffs in Yaroslav Halak. They've got great management. They've got a lot of cap room. I like the Blues. I think that they're... they're like poised to do something special this year. They've got $14.5 million in cap room, dude. They could take on some huge salary.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to.
That's a team that you should keep your eye on for Brad Richards.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have St. Louis third. I just don't think they can't compete with on the top end with Taves and Kane. It's just not there.
This is one reason why I've got Chicago third, dude. I think, you know, they're an injury away from one of their key players to slipping badly. You know, what if Taze goes out for 2 months?
Right.
Big trouble. They don't have any flexibility to make any sort of acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Their depth is already going to be on the roster playing supporting roles. I mean, they've got some good young players. We like Jack Skyle Skile.
Yeah, Skile.
We love Kyle Beach, who it looks like he did not make the team, but he's kind of floating around there. He could come in. But I think they don't have a lot of depth on D. They don't have a lot of depth up front behind their top two lines. They've got Thomas Kopechki playing on a scoring line.
Mm-hmm.
I think Blackhawks are primed for a slip. All right. Slip.
Who you got fourth? Here's the big question.
Columbus. Yeah, I hate Nashville.
I hate Nashville too.
And I hate the trade that they made today. They traded Ryan Parent to Vancouver for Shane O'Brien. I think that's a stupid...
yeah,
that's a stupid trade.
They did that on purpose?
They did it on purpose, dude. I think Columbus will go as Filatov goes.
Right.
And if he takes a step into the spotlight and plays well and becomes kind of that 70-point player that people think he could be, Columbus could surprise. Mm-hmm. But they're still a top blue liner and a legitimate center away from...
it's two guys. It's Filatov and Mason. Right. Mason had a horrible year last year. If he can rebound and be that goaltender that won the Calder... then you know, Columbus will be respectable again as opposed to what they were last year, which was basically a joke.
Nashville, no scoring, and they're going to replace Hamhuis and Grabushkov with Bouillon and Klein.
Mm.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
I don't... and someone on ESPN picked the Predators to win this division.
What?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I understand how everybody loves Shea Weber.
Okay.
I get it. Shea
Good.
Weber, great.
Great.
He's great.
He cannot win games alone.
Right.
Preds, this is when they finally fall off the map.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Northwest, dude.
Well, best team in the West for me is Vancouver.
Right.
So they have to be first. To me, then it got real shaky after that. I had a tough time picking the Northwest, you know, and I'm almost like a little bit embarrassed to say who I picked second.
Oh, dude, don't say Calgary.
I did.
Oh.
They just have... I mean, They just have the talent. Yeah, they have good goal.
So you don't believe in Colorado?
They have good goal. I have Colorado third. They have good goaltending. I don't believe in Craig Anderson like being the second coming of Jacques Plante. You know, it's just... I can't see that happening again. I mean,
okay.
Craig Anderson was so amazing the first half of the season, and they completely tailed off at the end. Right? They were number one in that division.
They looked pretty good in April.
In December,
and they then gave us a run for our money.
And
dude.
Then they slipped all the way to the eighth, though. That's mostly again because of Anderson. He can't do it again. It's not going to happen. Calgary's... I think, even though Bouwmeester is a soft player, according to Michael Pekka. Yeah, did you hear about that? The Michael Pekka thing? I guess Michael Pekka was saying on TSN or CBC or something that he's played against Jay Bouwmeester, and Jay Bouwmeester, he likes playing against Jay Bouwmeester because he's like soft and stuff. And then like the Calgary GM or something just completely ripped Pekka and said like he shouldn't be talking and all this stuff. It was pretty funny. A little minor dust up prior
nice.
To the season.
Nice. Sounds good.
So Colorado
I've
third.
Got Colorado second. Okay, I'm so still I remember what we saw at, in that playoff series last year. I saw a team that believed in their coach. And they've got the young talent, unlike Phoenix, who we'll get to in a little bit. You know, Phoenix's young talent, I don't know if they're ready. Mm-hmm. I think Colorado's young talent, they stepped up. They played a full season last year together. I think that they're going to still be a threat. I've got them number two.
All right. So who you got? So then you have Calgary third?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
You have Edmonton because they're exciting.
I have Minnesota third. And dude, let me tell you why.
What?
I okay, dude, I knew I was going to take some heat for this. Minnesota is playing San Jose Sharks style hockey because that's their Todd Richards, their coach. He was, you know, under Pittsburgh, and now he was under McClellan here for a year. And I think that they are going to take steps forward. They learned a brand new system last year. They've got a good goalie in Backstrom. They added two key veteran guys in Matt Cullen and John Madden, who I think can really bring those third and fourth lines together in a division of bad teams. I think Minnesota, with their up-tempo style, is going to be better than Calgary. Because I think Calgary, when they start slow, the Sutters are going to get canned, and Jay Feaster is going to start making his own team, and a lot of those guys are going to go. You think Olli Jokinen and Alex Tanguay are going to really be able to take this team to a winning record?
Yeah. I mean,
ouch.
Dude, look at the Wild. I look at their forwards. I see one guy that is genuinely really good, and that's Mikko Koivu.
Well, so you think Havlat is going to have another bad year?
Of course, Havlat's going to be hurt in 3 weeks. I mean, of course, he's a guy you draft last in fantasy because in case he's not hurt, you want to collect his 65 points.
Look, I'm not saying they're a great team. I'm just saying that when you've got Calgary that's going to, I think, implode again because they're a disaster, and the Sutters will be gone, and Feaster's just going to start.
See, I think
start over.
Feaster's not going to completely blow it up during the year. He'll wait till the offseason and blow it up. But I think it could be a calming influence. I think the best thing that could happen to Calgary is they tank the first 2 weeks. They both get cleaned out. Feaster takes the helm, and then Calgary's going to begin a nice slow rise. And their talent is just clearly superior to Minnesota.
You're right. Alex Kotelik is really great.
He is great.
So we agree that Edmonton, well, I think they will be entertaining to watch. This is the biggest problem I have with Edmonton. Tom Rennie is the wrong coach for this team.
Yeah, he's not the guy.
He's not the guy. They need a Joe Sacco. Mm-hmm. They need a guy who's going to come together with, you know, like I read something.
They need Guy Boucher, right?
Like the new guy. I think Taylor Hall made the team, but I read an article saying that Taylor Hall might not make the team.
What?
Why would you not keep him? They're doing the right thing by telling Suri to go home. Mm-hmm. They should banish Harvey Bulin next. And
they don't have a goalie.
Joe with the kid. Well, then, you know, dude, maybe you should give him a call.
You know, Devin Dubnyk, who's like 10 feet tall.
I don't care.
All right. Well, I have Minnesota last because.
Wow. You want to make a little bet on this?
Okay.
Minnesota versus Edmonton, end of the year.
Minnesota versus. See, I don't like that bet. I'll take Minnesota versus.
Calgary?
Sure.
Okay.
You think Minnesota's going to finish ahead of Calgary?
I just spent about 5 minutes explaining why.
Wow. I will definitely take
okay,
that.
Okay, your faith in the Sutters. Okay, beer. He's writing it down. Beer. All right. Beer?
Absolutely.
Six-pack.
Oh, six-pack, yeah.
Dude, I like
Name
it.
Name your price.
All right, dude. Okay.
Minnesota is on the upswing, but they're still at the bottom end of the curve. They're not ready to contend for...
See, I see Calgary...
They're contending for a playoff.
Dude, Calgary's like the fat kid with no floaties in the deep end of the pool. And you just gave him a donut, he's going to sink.
Regeer, Bouwmeester, Aginla, those three guys are enough.
One of those guys will not be on the team by the end of the year.
Wow.
They'll be gone.
That's almost another bet.
Ooh.
Wow. All right, dude, we're saving the best for last.
Okay.
Or the worst for last because people have stayed with us for 40 minutes. Okay, so the big question is, do you think the Sharks are going to win the Pacific?
Oh, God, dude. I think it's going to be really close. Because of the Sharks podcast, you're sort of obligated to say Sharks. I do think the Sharks have the talent to get it done, and I believe that Doug Wilson will push the right buttons in the end, but the Kings are going to give us everything we've got, dude.
Right. I'm just... it really depends. The Kings are going to live and die with Kopitar. They don't have the obvious top-end power that we have in Marlowe and Thornton. Right. They're still waiting for Kopitar to become that superstar that it looked like he was going to become and sort of never made it. You know, he's a good fantasy pick because you hope he's going to break out. But if he doesn't break out, the Kings are not going to be first in the Pacific.
But their goaltending, their defense,
yep.
better than the Sharks. Yep. So that'll be interesting to watch. Who's your third place team in the Pacific?
I have Phoenix again. Dave Tippett Hockey scores. Dave Tippett Hockey works. You know, it's boring and it's not great, but he found a way to get everybody to buy in to that system. So it's Phoenix again because Anaheim's defense, we've pounded them so many times. Their defense is awful.
Right.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. But I still think Anaheim is better than Dallas. I still put the Ducks ahead of Dallas.
I do not have the Ducks ahead of Dallas.
Because I think their top two lines are going to win them enough games, and Dallas is just sort of in trouble everywhere.
Yeah, I think Dallas has... I think Dallas has a better team. And
I'm looking at
Well,
Dallas,
they've got Richards, Ribeiro, Erickson, Morrow, Ott, Neal, Ben. I mean, that's not embarrassing.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? And I think their D is better. And Lettinen... he could be good. I mean, we've seen him be good. But he has been good in the past. I mean, he was the goalie for the Thrashers when they won their division.
Right.
You know,
and he played like almost 35 or 40 games that year.
The Ducks have a stupid GM. He's a dummy. Bob Murray's ruined that team to our delight. He's completely blown it. Their second time is going to spend so much time on the IR. They may as well just go on vacation now. They've got some good pieces in Fowler and Spisa, but... I think they're going to lose a ton of 6-4 games. So I'm picking the Ducks to finish at the bottom of the Pacific, and I will laugh out loud at them.
I'm not going to make a strong case for Anaheim being fourth in the division because I just their top six is clearly better than Dallas, in my opinion. Their D is terrible, but they have better goaltending. So to me, the edge goes to Anaheim in this regard. I would rather have Hiller than Carey on the long-term injury reserve, Lehtinen.
Okay, let me give you my Western Conference playoff seeds. You tell me if you agree or disagree.
All right, dude. I got to turn off this music because it's starting to kill me.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on. Just give me a second here because this is...
We got nothing but time, dude. It's over 40 minutes.
Yeah. We got nothing going on. How do I turn this off? I don't know. Oh, wait.
Oh, I thought you were going to maybe crash the whole thing. We have to start over. Not like that's ever happened before.
No, never happened before. All right, so number one is going to be Vancouver because they're in a weaker division. Number two is going to be Detroit.
I agree. I'm
putting the Sharks at third.
We are on the money so far, dude.
That means the Kings will be number four.
I agree.
Number five will be Chicago.
I disagree.
Kings and Chicago matchup. That's going to be fun.
I have the Kings and St. Louis. 4-5. You ready for this? You know what I've got.
What you got?
Sharks are three. Who's six? The Sharks are the three seed.
So you got Chicago as the
six? I do. Because it's never easy.
Yeah, you're right.
Blackhawks are going to be six. Sharks, Blackhawks are destined to have another playoff matchup. And then when we beat them, we have to go through Detroit. And that's going to be how it's going to go. You know it's the way. Seven, I have Colorado.
Okay.
And eight, I have Phoenix.
Okay, so I have St. Louis is the six, Phoenix is the seven, and Calgary as the eight in the weakest division. And only the 1-8, a battle of Western Canada matchup. Vancouver cleaning the floor with Calgary to start.
Delightful.
Yes.
Dude,
lovely.
Who do you have, if you were to put $20 even odds on everyone, who would you pick to win the Stanley Cup today?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think that they're too deep. They've improved their blue line. It's the same core guys who've won before. You gotta love the Penguins, although it's a completely boring pick. It's the truth.
It's so boring. And I'm waiting for Washington has too many questions. Me personally, they have too many questions on defense, too many questions of goaltending, and Pittsburgh is the exact opposite of those two positions. Good, great goaltending. They saw plenty of backup work last year and a much improved defense that was already pretty damn good. So that's what I got to go with. All right, dude. I think we are well to the end. I'm excited. The season is about to begin, dude. Are you going to play hooky on Friday and watch the Sharks game while it's happening?
If I was going to do that, dude, I would not tell you.
Okay, good. Well, I will ask you next week to see if you developed a sudden illness like Ebola or something and decided to stay home for a day.
Let me ask you one question as we go out the door, because I know you'll keep it running as I leave, because
probably
that's only appropriate.
Yeah.
As the season's ending and we know the Sharks need a defenseman, if I were to name these three guys, who would you want? They're all unrestricted free agents, which is a Doug Wilson favorite target.
Chris Phillips.
Okay.
Okay.
Andre Markov.
Yeah.
Yanni Pitkinen.
Uh-huh.
Or Chris Phillips.
I mean, in terms of who do I want?
Who would you take?
I would take Chris Phillips for sure.
Just better all-around player.
Better, good player. Markov, we saw hurt last year. Pitkinen's been a number of places, so
he really had a great year last
year. Really good player. I'd love to have him on the team, but if you're asking me to choose between him and Chris Phillips, it's not much of a choice for me.
Be interesting to watch those three guys on teams that, you know, we've kind of said they could be good, they could be mediocre, or in Carolina they could be bad,
or they could be really good, or they could be good, they could be actually decent.
Right.
You know, if like they're young, if Brandon Sutter suddenly gets a lot better,
sure.
If Eric Staal becomes like the massive force he's been. If Cam Ward, who knows?
I'm identifying right now. I'm going on the record. I think Pitkinen is the guy that we should keep our eyes on.
Okay.
In terms of the season, as maybe being the addition that Doug Wilson's going to be looking at.
Yeah. Well, he seems probably a lot more likely to move than Chris Phillips. And I know Chris Phillips probably has a bigger cap hit, and that's going to be a bigger risk for the Sharks because they're probably going to want to sign whoever they get. So Doug is now packing up his crap. So. Later, dude.
Bye, dude.
Thanks.
Hey,
thanks for coming.
End it the way we started it.
I guess you're right. Okay.
I'm taking you by surprise.
All right. Okay. Don't forget your keys.
God, I gotta go to the bathroom.
All right, it's out the door to the left.
I can't wait.
Okay. Just take it easy there. Whoa, you're doing a little dance there, doing the pee dance, dude. Careful. That zipper does not sound like what you thought it would. Good try, though.
See you next week, dude.
All right.
Dude, Sharks hockey.
Sharks hockey, it's here. Thanks for sticking with us all these minutes. Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.